1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter in our New Testament. I'd like you to, in this morning service, listen to the simple but profound teaching on the subject of the resurrection. There have been many resurrections before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was Lazarus was raised, a man who was buried in the Old Testament and his body hit the bones of Elijah and he was raised. But Christ was more than just a dead man raised to life, but he was a man that was raised to God in perfect redemption, where God gave his Son and brought us to himself. Oswald Chambers says it this way: that we're all resuscitations of the same kind of life, but Jesus Christ rose as a totally different life, to a totally different relationship to men and women. When Christ came into the world, this is very important. When Christ came into the world in Bethlehem, he was the only begotten Son of God, different from all other people. You and I are born to live and live 70 years and then die. But when Christ came to Bethlehem, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning that his body was like ours. It would bleed, he would sweat. He was in a world where there were thorns and briars. There was and is the curse on people. When Christ came, he was without sin, but he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, like us, sleeping, eating. But he was different because he was without sin. It says in Psalm 22, when he was in his mother's womb, he was in communion with his father. When he fed from his mother's breast, he was in fellowship with his father. But wasn't he also God? Wasn't Christ also God? Yes. Psalm 110, David wrote, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Christ used this verse to speak to the Pharisees. How could David have a son and call him Lord simultaneously? He is his Son and he is his God. But in Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Almighty God. This babe in Bethlehem was God clothed in flesh. Flesh like ours. That is why when people walked down the street, they could pass him and think he was just the same as everyone else. There were times in the Gospels when the curtain was pulled back and there were people that knew who he was, and sometimes he would say with tremendous confidence, there was no question about it, that he knew who he was. And he would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." This is maximum confidence, clarity of truth like no one else. Buddha would say, I think so. And someone else would speculate. But Christ was full of confidence and knowledge. He knew he was the Messiah. And he told his disciples many times he came for this reason. As the Lamb of God, like John the Baptist said, to take away our sin. He would say to the disciples that it's time to go to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified and raised on the third day. Go tell that fox, he said to the messengers from Herod. Go tell that fox that I do this. I heal the leper, I raise the dead, and on the third day I will be raised from the dead. There is no question in the Scripture. And if anyone knows the Scripture, gives their heart to Christ, and becomes a listener of God's Word, then they will grow in this understanding that this man, this Christ, this Savior is unlike all others. One writer said, a historian, the simple disproof, the effective challenging of the fact of the resurrection would have dealt a death blow to Christianity. And they had every opportunity to disprove it if it was possible. But this story, biblical record, cannot be disproved. There are too many that saw him. At one time, 500 people in 1 Corinthians 15, if you see this here, after he had been seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12 in verse 5. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. What does that mean? You can go ask them. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He was seen by 500 people at one time, and many of them are still alive. Go and ask them, did they see Christ? Is he risen from the dead? Yes. Our faith is solidly established on this person who was God, who became a man, who died and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was begotten, not made. This is important. There are heresies through church history that question the nature of Christ. Some say he was an angel or a God that was made by God. No, he always was with the Father. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only glory that comes forth from God the Father. Let me read a few verses here in this resurrection chapter. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? I read about a man who was buried in a cemetery, an old cemetery, and there was a big old tree there. The tree, the roots of the tree went down into the ground, and the tree grew like hundreds of years. The root system went through the coffin, through the skull of the man. The roots went down through the spine of the corpse, the body down through the legs, and filled the coffin. Where did that man go? The tree was feeding on him. Well, then what happened? What happens with our body? Our body disintegrates. Our body is eaten up by worms. Job said it in Job 19. Oh, that my words would now be graven in stone, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though worms eat my body, I know that in my flesh I will stand upon the earth, and I shall also behold with these eyes my God. In verse 27. What about our bodies eaten by fish, disintegrated in the ground, absorbed as nutrients for plants? Psalm 139, all our members are written in a book. Our DNA is recorded by God. God knows what our body is, for he made us in his image. Not to be going back to the dust, dust we came and dust we return in Ecclesiastes 3:20 and Genesis 2:18. From the dirt and back to the dirt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Look. Look. God became a man and he took us. He was not simply resuscitated back from the raised from the dead, as simply we would see a man miraculously raised from the dead in the same body. But his body, he was raised, he was sown in, it was sown a natural body, but it was raised incorruptible. Read this, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. This verse 43 comes to my mind when I see someone in hospice who is struggling in their life with cancer, and I see the dishonor. When we see unfortunately, a mutilated body like John the Baptist, and his head is one where place and his body is another, it is sown in dishonor. As a man becomes older and loses his power and his muscle movements and his function and his balance, his body is sown in dishonor. Christ's body was sown also in dishonor. Humiliated publicly, raised up upon a tree, our sins upon his body, bleeding as the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb that is also to be eaten. They would shed the blood of the lamb at the Passover. In Egypt, they put it on the doorposts. The blood went on the doorposts, and then they ate the lamb that night in Egypt. And they left Egypt in the strength of that meat. They left. Well, we are not eating lamb today. We are eating spiritual food, where we have a lamb that lives and reigns and is on a throne, who has taken our mortal body and brought us to incorruption. We have already been raised from the dead with him. John chapter 8, verse 51, they that believe shall not die. Psalm 23, we go through the valley of the shadow of death, but we shall not die. Why? We died with him. We were raised with him. We are seated in heavenly places with him. We have overcome death with him. Oh, death, where is your victory? Grave, where? Death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your muscle power victory? If it was us, we'd have roots growing through our bodies. We'd be sown in corruption. Worse, our souls cast into hell, forsaken and gone from the God, from the reality of the world, the world's the reality of God in this world that he made for us and himself. Jesus, is this world made for you? Yes, it is mine. These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, tribulation, guilt, fear, shame, corruption, decaying bodies, bodies buried in cemeteries and in the sea. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. I came so that there would be the resurrection of the dead, in this sense that there will be no more death for you. You will never die. I have been raised and you have been raised with me. Romans 6:4. This is what the scripture says. Have you felt the corruption in your body? I have. Have you felt the dishonor? Have you had a sense of it? Have you gasped for your breath? Have you had a heart attack? Have you had a bullet penetrate your flesh? Have you had a high fever that you felt you could even die and perish in your bed? Have you felt the corruption of your flesh? Yes, we see it in the fear of death that dominates in the lives of many people. But listen, it goes on. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, this is Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. The first man was natural. The first man, Adam. And may I say today, listen to me carefully. I want this to be applicable in your life. Many believers live in the natural life, and they think that's all that it is. Many believers in the natural life, and they try to be a Christian or live like a Christian or do the right thing. Many live in a natural life, but we have good news for you. Based on Christ's finished work, you have been raised a spiritual man. If you are a born-again believer, and a born-again believer is anyone at all that believes in Christ as their Savior, then you are regenerated by God. Titus 3:5. You've been given you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen to it. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Wait. Now? Yes. Now. No, wait. You mean later, after I die? No. Now. If you are a believer in Christ and you have all the equipment, you have the Spirit, you have Christ's mind, you have a new nature. That may be why you are listening here this morning, and you're watching, and you're observing, and you're feeding, and you're realizing something that maybe you haven't understood it before. And this is the work of the Spirit in your heart and in your mind. But we see also in the story, they're not sure. Peter is still not confident. Thomas has not seen Christ. And 8 days pass. And in the first day when he heard, he said, I will not believe it until I put my hand in his side. I check it out. I will not believe it. 8 days pass. On the eighth day, Peter's with them. Jesus offered. He goes specifically to Thomas because he knows all things. He knows Thomas's unbelief. And Thomas is a disciple. He said, here, put your hands in my side. He showed him here. And he said, my Lord and my God. This is for us to understand. There's a part of the story we referred to earlier. I hope you can hear this and follow it with me. Peter said, I will not deny you. I will die with you. Let us go. We can die with him. I will not deny you. Jesus said, you will. And the story is powerful. I think Peter projected into the future a moment of heroism where he would, in a dramatic moment, he would be with Christ. Maybe they would be arrested together and he would be determined, I will go with you all the way. And then maybe he thought that there'd be a moment before the high priest or some authorities and he would be able to muster all his strength and say, I am with him. But like it is in life, these fantasies or imaginations may not match the reality. It might never happen that way. Peter was bolstered and encouraged because in the garden he took off a man's ear. That's how courageous and strong and willing he was to go and fight with Christ and go with him. But again, reality has a way of finding you out. Because this is what really happened. Peter followed him from far, wondering how it would unfold. He came to Caiaphas' house. There was a gate there. Not everybody was let in. Peter was on the outside, and he was thinking, I will go in, because he is thinking, I want to follow, I want to be faithful. And at the door, there was a young lady, a maid, maybe just a tack of age, 16-year-old girl. Not a powerful soldier, not a centurion, not a high priest, but just a simple young lady. And she said, are you a Galilean? Are you with him? Are you one of his disciples? He says, no. He goes in eventually by the fire. Another woman, are you? I think I saw you with him. No. And then another one, no. A man, no. No. And he swore. The cock crowed. His trial was over before he even knew it. He denied Christ, not in a dramatic moment with all the lights on him, not at a time where he had to bolster all his strength. He denied him in the grocery line at the drugstore or grocery store. He denied him in the locker room and after the football game. He denied him on the basketball court or in a business transaction with two or three people. He denied him in his living room. He denied him in a way toned down, non-dramatic environment. There it was. I wonder how many times I have denied him. I've felt it. I'm sure you have. Another story in the Passover Passion of Christ that is worth our consideration is crying out Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief, a murderer, and an insurrectionist, seditious against the Roman Empire, dangerous man. the Bar, son of Abba, son of his father. A generic title, a regular name, Barabbas, son of his father, like all of us in this room. The people had an opportunity to have one man call out a name, have one man released, and as Rome wanted to celebrate the Passover with the Jews who were slaves in Egypt and they were liberated, so they wanted a token expression of saying, we'll liberate one person for you who is a criminal. Who? Barabbas or the one called Christ? Again, we see how wrong we can be. The guilty is exonerated, the innocent crucified. The guilty, evil world promoted God crucified. But how does that translate into my life? Maybe sexual promiscuity, liberal sexual activity at your pleasure, whatever you want to do, and then kill the unborn baby. Man and woman decide, abort the baby. The innocent is killed. My lifestyle is protected. My lifestyle, my pleasure, my way, my life. How many lies are promoted in this world in the name of, like, our rights for that? Barabbas, set Barabbas free. Barabbas, what should I do with the innocent one? I find no fault in him, Pilate said. Crucify him. How about these people in the Middle East that are beheaded for their faith? They're like sheep. Simple, beautiful. Though I do not know any of them, but we know martyrdom is happening in this age, great numbers, more than ever anywhere in the history. The numbers way exceed because the population is bigger. Innocent people murdered, and then murder exonerated, promoted. Barabbas. But you don't have to live in the Middle East to do that. You can live right here in America. We'll promote the lie. We'll promote the mechanism of deceit and robbery and thievery. And we will do whatever we will. I am saying in myself, in my heart, I have seen it happen. And I have to check again. Wait a minute. We are a new creation. We have another mind. We have found the Bible. Here's a good one. The Bible people, they're dangerous people. The Bible people are dangerous people. When actually this book is the heart and soul of a healthy person. The heart and soul of a healthy family. The heart and soul of a healthy community. The heart and soul of a healthy country. The heart and soul of salvation. My words, they are spirit and they are life. If you come unto me, I will give unto you. If you seek my kingdom first, all these other things will be added unto you. Isaac, I am promoting you because of your father. Abraham, because I promised Abraham, then you also get a blessing. And I will not withdraw myself from that covenant. It is a guarantee. Well, our Father has given us his Son. Therefore, he that spared not his only begotten Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I believe that we are in an important time in our lives. And I believe by God's grace, this book can be planted in our heart and speak to us and lead us in an evil day. Peter changed. Instead of denying the Lord in front of a young lady and then another young lady and another man by the fire and swearing and spitting and cursing, and then the cock crowed and he goes, whoa, what happened? What happened? Yeah, you couldn't handle it because the natural man cannot do God's will. You could not handle it because by nature we cannot please him. And by the way, we will cry out Barabbas with the crowd just like anybody else because we'd rather have life our way than his way. But look at when he comes out to the tomb, he's saying, it's new now. It's different. I came so that you would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I came so the Holy Spirit could be your teacher. I came so that this book would be living in your heart. I came so that you would, when you lose a loved one, you will weep, but you will weep with hope because you will see them again. Because I came and my kingdom is not of this world. It is taking over this world one day. I will return in Colossians 3:4, and you will come back with me. And we will stay. The kingdom of God will come on the earth. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth one day. We are those that have a new birth through him. In closing, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Have you seen the image of the heavenly yet? Have you seen it in your heart? In your spiritual eyes, have you tasted it? Have you experienced the love, the freedom, the joy, the liberty? Have you experienced the heavenly? Though we live in an earthly body, but we also can see the heavenly while we are here on the earth. While we are here, we are able to see the heavenly. This is the church. The anointing, the spirit-filled assembly, the believer, the miracle that happens at times. One lady in one of our meetings some years ago, she had a lump in her breast. She was listening, and she listened to the message. She felt heat go through her body. After the meeting, she went into the restroom and examined herself, and it was gone. God sends his word and he heals us. God speaks his word and he saves us. God reveals his mind and heart to us through this great book. And we realize he is risen, but it is more than a fact of history at one point in time. It is a reality for us in the present. He is risen. We have been raised with him. We have the image of the heavenly, though it is kind of clouded with the mud of our bodies, our mortal body that is sown in corruption, that we can feel the incorruption in our spirit. We can sense the promise is real. We can sense the reality of what he says in our spirit and in our hope. Listen, I used to live in Finland, and we would go to the Soviet Union back in the 70s, and there was a mausoleum, Lenin's mausoleum. That's a big tomb, and inside you could walk in, and I have been in there. And then in the tomb is the glass box, plexiglass box, with inside Lenin's embalmed body. Lines of people walking through. And what do we have? The natural man preserved with whatever, wax or formaldehyde or whatever, I don't know. But it is only a body. There is no life in atheism, materialism. There is no eternal life in the natural man. And people in the Soviet Union under atheism were educated this way. And when a loved one in their family died, they would weep and howl and be disconsolate. No comfort. They would cry and mourn because they were taught, you will never see them again. It is over. This world is an accident. You are an accident. Your family is an accident. Even the thoughts in your mind have no ultimate meaning. How sad. But we pass an empty tomb. We read sacred scripture that is from the prophets, written by the Holy Spirit. God says to us, do you think I made you to go to the dust? Come on. I made you to be with me forever. Do you think I made you so you would be afraid and be ashamed and be guilty? Come on. I gave my son so that the image of the heavenly would be in you even now as you live in an earthly body. Listen to the last part of it. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Meaning the man with the tree roots that have gone through his skull and devoured his body, we have a message that body, verse 20, 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, let's say a few closing profound statements. What do you want? How do you want to live? What decisions do you want to make? Are you able to make good decisions that are towards God? If this is real, not just for the future, but if this is real for us today, then how do you want to live? You can cry out Barabbas and avoid Christ, or you can say, give me Christ. You can say, I won't deny the Lord, you know, someday there'll be a dramatic opportunity and I'll be faithful. I doubt it. You deny him back here in the grocery store. You can't handle it in the gymnasium or on the street or when you're talking to your neighbor. Because you don't have, you and I need to be moved more deeply than projecting into the future about some fantastic made-up event where I will not deny him. How about every day living in the Spirit? What about every day the Spirit of God speaking to your heart? What about every day having the discipline of getting a word and meditating on it and chewing it? What about belonging to a church fellowship where your heart is spoken to? What about being prepared for meeting him, for one day your eyes will behold him in your flesh that has been raised incorruptibly to immortality? That day is coming. A few more Sundays, a few more summers, a few more winters, and it's over. Our natural body will be sown in corruption and dishonor by the whole. We will not be in that body. We are in it now, but this body is not me. We are more than our body. We are in our body now for some time in a lesson of humility, a lesson of faith, a training session from God to leave us here for a period of time to experience his grace and learn the kingdom. But I must also be engaged with God on purpose. Receive from God. Be broken like his son. Walk with him and make decisions in this life. And say, I'm not choosing the pornography. I'm going with Christ. Yeah, but if you go with Christ, it'll be harder. Yeah, it might look like that, but it's not. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come and learn of me. My way is easy. My burden is light. The way of the transgressor is hard. Check it out. The way of drug addiction is hard. Check it out. The way of lying and cheating and being in trouble with people and not having a friend in your life is hard. Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard, but not the way of the Spirit. The way of Christ, the way of grace, the way of faith, the way of the kingdom. Choose now. Who will you serve? If Baal be God, choose him. But if Christ is God, choose him. Why wait until later? Later you will go to heaven by God's grace because you are saved. But why not enjoy the ride now? He's alive. Okay, would you pray with me, please? This is an invitation for people that are wanting the direction regarding salvation. The direction is simple. Believe in him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, children of God. Born not of the flesh cannot do this. The will of man or born not of flesh nor of blood nor the will of man, but born of God. God saves you this morning. And all you have to do is in your heart is say in your own heart to Christ, I believe in you and I trust you. I cannot save myself. I cannot go to heaven on my own merit. I'm not good enough. I would never make it. I can't even start to be good enough. Cannot. I must be born of God. Christ came so this would be happening for you. This would be yours. Christ came so you could be a child of God. In a moment, in an instant, believing and you are born of God. Then walk by faith in him. Learn to pray to him. Trust him. Talk to him. He's your friend. Your heavenly Father. Start to read the scripture, the Gospel of John. Start to fellowship with other believers and ask questions and get helped in your faith. The right people do an amazing job in helping us, God's people. Start to go to church. Put it in your calendar. Put it as a way of life. There's a lot to win and a lot to lose. I cannot just live naturally. That which is the natural is of the flesh is earthy. That which is from heaven, the image from heaven, the second and last Adam, is of the Spirit. And that is you today because you have believed in him. Feed that spiritual man. Walk by faith in him. Simply say this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. In my heart, by faith, I have questions, but I trust you. I don't have much faith, but I trust you. You will help me. I don't know much about it, but I trust you. You are the answer for my life. You are the one raised from the dead. I need you. I trust you. Now, this part of the service is just the part that is logistics and helpful for you. And it's simply that the ushers could give you some material so you could go on in your Christian walk and go on in faith. So would you just raise your hand if you're saying that prayer today? Lord Jesus, I trust you. Anyone, raise your hand. A couple hands here. Thank you. Anyone else? The ushers will give you a booklet over here in the back on the right. Thank you. A couple over here. Just raise your hand. Just say yes. One more. Anyone else on the left? Anybody in the back? Anyone? Yes, I'm accepting Jesus. I believe in him. The ushers will give you some material. Then to all the visitors, all of our guests, everybody here, there is at the end of the service, which is in a few minutes, there is coffee in the foyer. There's a cafe. You have a free cafe card with a free coffee, and you're welcome. Be here. Make these decisions. Follow, believe, and trust. And you need it. I need it. We need it. God is good to you. God has a new life. Somebody could say, well, you don't know my temperament. You don't know my personality. You are a new creation. That's not the issue. You are a new creation. You don't know my past. You don't know the sins. You don't know the twisted, perverted things in my life. No. Christ died. You are a new creation. You don't understand it. You will grow in it. Oh, no. This is bigger than you, bigger than your sin, bigger than your education, your past, your personality. This is bigger than you and me. This is Christ. Christ is real. Christ is raised. Christ is alive. Christ overcame. Christ is here, and he's in you as a believer. This is big. It's big. It's important. It's big. It's powerful. There's nothing like it. And one day, he will raise our vile bodies from the ground. There, when we die, we go immediately to be him when our bodies are buried. And the tree grows through the body. But that we are not there. We are in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5:2. But one day, even those deteriorated bodies will one day, God will say, come on up. And out of this earth comes with his book of DNA, our body glorified, and in our flesh glorified, we will see our Redeemer standing on the latter day on this earth in his flesh. And then the natural is swallowed up into incorruption in a more absolute way. This is the beginning of what is coming. And you are the next part of it. And then there is more, and that has eternal consequences. Tonight we'll have a service here, and we'll speak more about the resurrection of the dead. God bless you.